Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Monday, October the 6th, 2025. 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. First Monday in the month of October. Last day of warm weather we are going to have for quite some time. Going to dip down into the high 60s, lower 70s after today. All right, well, we were having a discussion in the last hour about tonight's city council meeting. If anybody's got anything they'd like to say to continue on with that, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. The phone lines are open if you have anything you'd like to contribute to that particular conversation. And I do want to say again that McDonald's has their Monopoly cups out. And I did pull my tab this morning on my cup, although it was a harrowing experience to do so. And I did not win $1 million, so I'm still here for the time being. 740-383-9944. Now, I was talking about some of the guests we had on last week's program. Heather Hill was on, independent candidate for governor in 2026, talking about filing a discrimination lawsuit against the Republican Party here in Ohio for how they treated her when she wanted to run for governor. We'll see where that all goes, but that was a pretty interesting interview that we did on Friday night, so you might want to check that out. Last Thursday, we had Jason David in here. Now, Jason David is the performer and speaker who has lost 80% of his tongue to tongue cancer. Young guy. I believe he's in his 30s now, but this all went down when he was in his upper 20s. And, you know, you think, wow, here's this guy, lost 80% of his tongue, and they said he would never speak again, they said he would never sing again, and here he was singing in the studio last week and is out performing all across the country. That is such a good story to hear, and I think everybody enjoyed that particular episode. Does anybody have any thoughts on that one? 740-383-9944. He was on 2 hours on Thursday morning. And then last Wednesday, we had on Brian R. Solomon, who is the author of the new Gorilla Monsoon book, which is out. Number one wrestling book on Amazon and top 10 sports books on Amazon at this point. Go ahead, caller.
Give us a reason to love your city.
There you go.
We were talking about economic development and the mayor not having a clue of what he's doing, since he has never run a free enterprise. He has been an administrator in government things, but that doesn't necessarily mean you know all of the mechanics of what's going on, you know?
Well, you know, I'm not sure what he knows on economic development. I'm not sure what those credentials would be.
Well, it'd be interesting to find out who he's been listening to. You know, just to pull out of thin air, or I would say to pull out of his behind, oh, we're going to hire somebody, we're going to pay him $160,000, and now it's down to $120,000. You know, he needs to, as Ricky Ricardo would say to Lucy, you got some splaining to do there, Mayor.
But now, do you think you will ever hear an explanation as to where this came
Probably
from?
Probably not, but you know, if I were a bulimic, I would come to city council every time so I could purge. I find it a necessary evil to come up and see what's going on tonight. in regard to just pulling out of thin air someone that, gee, we're going to spend tax dollars on someone. We don't know who it is. We've never been introduced. And is there an individual, or is he just wanting to establish that the money is there for someone and the benefits, etc., and then hope that that big piece of cheese will attract the rats, you know?
Well, you know, I've said this for a long time, and I said this when the pay raises, when that discussion was going on at the end of Mayor Schertzer's term. You know, there is a big, you know, the increase in wages based upon cost of living, that's fine. But here's what I do not understand with an elected office, because it's your choice if you want to run for that or not. I do not understand, and these are not small salaries. These are not tiny salaries. So I do not understand where this idea has come from. Because it seems to be, if you go to the federal government and you say, well, these congressmen and senators, they should really want these jobs. We got to raise the pay. We'll get better congressmen and senators. People would say, you're nuts. They'd say these people stick around too long as it is. But on local government...
Those jobs, you know, those jobs in Congress and really state level and to varying degrees, local level... They're an auction. Who pays the most money?
But that's my point.
Speaking, yeah, who pays the most money, generally speaking, wins.
Right, but why on the local level is that considered a good argument? If we do that on the state and national level, that would be a horrible argument to say we're going to get the best people by offering them more money. But on the local level... Oh, we got to offer them more money. That's why we're getting bad candidates. It's because we've got we're not offering enough money.
See, that's why it's important to. I just lost my thought. Nuts. I don't think it's an argument. You pay more, you get more. No. Sometimes you get what you pay for. Sometimes you don't. Gus Comstock. I think that if you had a certain level of pay and you cap it at that, you give cost of living increases, etc., you should be able to attract people, but there should be an altruistic driving force of an individual wanting to help their community and not becoming a burden on the taxpayers. They should be able to demonstrate where they have saved the taxpayers' money and use that as incentive to give an annual bonus. That would be one way to look at it, so that we can weed out the wannabes from those who got the goods.
Well, I just think if money is your incentive to run for public office, we've got a big problem there.
We do. We have a big, you know, public service is kind of like the phrase that they use to get into the ministry. They got the calling or whatever. It should be altruistic. It should be wanting the desire to help and to make things more efficient, and again, lessen the burden of taxation on the taxpayers, giving fundamental basic services in exchange for those tax dollars. The taxpayers are the stockholders of Marion, and they should demand a better return on their tax dollar investment.
Well, all I know is that as I look at government over the last 25 years, I don't see a whole lot of people, once they get in those positions, leaving those positions unless they're voted out. So they must not have too big a problem with the financial compensation. Or why do they keep running?
They become complacent. They become complacent. You know, nobody makes waves. Everything's smooth. Everything looks good. And then there's someone that says, hey, emperor, you ain't got no clothes on, you know?
No, all I'm saying is, who are you going to attract if you raise the finances on these jobs? Okay, well, I want to do that because it pays better. Well, this is not a job hunt. This is an election. This is public service. That's what it is, and you should not want to stay in that all your life.
See, some of the problem is, too, you have retirees that are in public employees' retirement fund, or they have a pension fund. They've retired. They're getting their pension. Now they're going into dip again and again. And that, in my opinion, is the problem with the mayor.
What's that?
What I just mentioned.
Oh, that he's got a public pension fund?
He's possibly triple dipping. He's in it for the money, you know?
So you think our mayor's in this for the money?
That's my opinion, yeah.
Well, I don't know.
He's spending money like they have a printing machine down in the basement of City Hall. You know, the extravagant monies that are being spent on things that really don't benefit the general public.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, when I look back and we just have to compare mayors, Jack Kellogg was an insurance adjuster. And he became mayor, and I think people feel he did a pretty fair job.
But preface that, how many years on city council before he did go run?
Well, that's right. He had experience on city council.
He had a lot of that experience. He understood what the mechanics were.
Right, but then you had Mayor Schertzer, who was also on city council for a number of years, and he came from the teaching world. So, you know, it's just interesting to me because most people would say, well, they kept voting for him, that Mayor Schertzer and Mayor Kellogg did pretty well. Now, neither one of them, you know, one was an insurance adjuster, one was a teacher. I don't think they went into mayor of Marion for the money. And they had both been on city council for a number of years prior to ascending to that position. So this is the first time that a mayor in 32 years has not done that. And I don't know, and also did not come from a position where the pay was probably not, I don't know what he was making as deputy sheriff, but I'm sure it was pretty good.
Well, chief of police, he was making a good chunk of change.
Right, so, you know, but yet, do you consider him the best mayor of those three? Did you get what you pay for?
I don't think so.
So there you are.
He clearly doesn't understand economic development and what it takes for economic development. It isn't just one thing. Oh, we're going to have an economic development director, and we're going to pay him $120,000 a year, and et cetera. And he hasn't thought the entire process through because he doesn't have business experience of running a free enterprise, sweating bullets, no pun intended, sweating bullets that we're going to be able to pay our employees this week, et cetera. Building something from the ground up, getting grit and grime underneath his fingernails. He doesn't have a clue to that. And I don't fault him for the path that he took for his career. That's fine. But to hold yourself out that, well, we're going to create this, which is more tax burden, because he doesn't totally understand economic development and how to put a program together. So that's my concern about the whole thing.
Well, his presentation will go down tonight, I would guess, so maybe it's worth asking him a question tonight.
Well, like I say, if I were a bulimic, I would be there every council meeting in that. And as much as I hate to, it looks like I'm going to have to come to council tonight and ask the questions. you know?
Well, I think
there are a lot of questions that need to be asked. I mean, it's been, what, let's just say April, since Comstock hasn't been there. So has economic development for Marion been in neutral for all of this period of time?
Well, I'm just curious if the mayor will answer these questions. We'll see.
Well, that's another thing, too. I mean, he doesn't have to answer, but, you know, it doesn't make him look too swift if he ignores the question and doesn't answer.
Well, maybe he's got an answer.
Well, if he did not answer the question, then it would substantiate a lot of people's feelings about him and his abilities. So let's keep our fingers crossed. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to city council. Start holding these public officials accountable. It doesn't have to be an adversarial thing. An argument doesn't necessarily mean you have to scream and yell at each other. You have your point of view, they have their point of view, and hopefully you can arrive at a conclusion that benefits all. So
we'll see.
Better tomorrow.
All right, and that meeting tonight is at 6:30 at City Hall. So there you go, second floor. 740-383-9944. I don't know. I don't know. I just, in any regard, I think offering more money to get a better politician is a bad idea. Because, I first of all, I don't know that that's true, that you will get a better politician if you offer them more money. And number two, I don't think that... I don't know. It just seems like a bad idea. Let's put it that way. It just seems like that's going to create a situation where greed is really what is at the bottom of running for these positions. And that could create a bigger problem on the whole that we would deal with down the road. But again, the phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And as I said, the interviews last week that I think were of most note were probably that of Heather Hill, independent candidate for governor, saying that she's going to sue the Ohio GOP for discrimination, does not feel she was treated right in the gubernatorial race. That's why she's running as an independent now. Then we had Jason David in on Thursday morning, 2 hours with him. Thought that was very interesting. You know, as I said before, to lose 80% of your tongue to tongue cancer and still be able to go out and speak and still be able to go out and perform, I just thought that was such an inspirational program on Thursday morning. I just thought, you know, there's so much going on in the world and so much of this and complaining and up, down, left, right, and sideways. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I don't know what the police have in, as far as retirement, but if you're on Social Security after you retire, you're only allowed to make so much money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these cops will retire. It maybe they, as mayor and city cop, they retire, then they go to the sheriff's department, and they get all their retirement from their 20 years of service being mayor and city police, and they go to the sheriff's department, and they get that salary on top of their retirement. You know,
Well, I guess money makes the world spin round. You know,
yeah,
I...
You know. Go ahead.
No, I don't know. I think money is a very interesting driver for a lot of people. And I think more often than not, it gets people in trouble.
Yeah, but $120,000 for that position? I bet the mayor's not making $120,000.
No, he's not.
You know, so that's... I just don't see anybody getting that much money, especially when... We might not know a whole lot about him. I think that should be be more of an elective position, and who's going to decide who gets hired, the mayor?
Well, I think that's a question that somebody should ask. Who is going to make the decision? Is this a city council decision? Is this a mayor appointment, a mayoral appointment? Because this is not being decided by a board anymore, so that's a very good question. I don't know. Who's deciding this position?
If the mayor put somebody in there he wants, you know, he might be getting a kickback, or, you know, it's sometimes putting your friends in position, you know, is not the best thing.
Well, I think there is a question of who is headed for this position. Does the mayor have somebody in mind? You know, I don't know. I think that those are questions that would be interested. I'd be interesting if those were asked before committee votes on this.
The mayor would come in for a monthly meeting with you. Maybe some of these questions could be asked of him, and he could put some of these questions citizens have, you know, to rest.
Well, as I've said, I think this is the mayor's Achilles heel. It's too bad that he, for whatever reason, feels that he should not do what Mayor Schertzer and Mayor Kellogg did for so many years and come in once a month and answer questions, because they were able to bat down a lot of things that weren't true in those interviews. And I don't quite understand why Mayor Collins doesn't want to do that. I don't really know. I've never had a conversation with him about it, because honestly, I really don't think he wants to have a conversation about it. So, you know, I have tried to reach out to him. Anytime there's news, I try to reach out, and usually there's no response. Now, sometimes there's been response, but it's never been that he was willing to come on or anything like that.
Yeah, I wish he changed his mind on that situation. Did you see where a federal judge that Trump appointed has put a 14-day moratorium on going into, I think it was out in Oregon, a city out in Oregon, Portland?
You know, I did see that. I did see that the people out there in Portland are trying everything not to have troops come in there.
And a federal judge, you know, she put a 14-day moratorium on it, but she saying that, you know, that's not putting, you know, military involved in the, you know, policing of our cities and stuff is wrong. I don't know, I just, hopefully he doesn't get by with doing that, but he tells everybody that Portland's burning, is so bad that it's burning to the ground out there. You know, there's been fire set, you know, from, just a bunch of crap is blatantly lies. I don't know how people has put up with this over the years, but...
Well, what hadn't even been a year yet with Trump the second time around. What did you make of Heather Hill coming on saying she's going to sue the Ohio Democratic Party for discrimination?
Republican Party, wasn't it?
Yeah, Republican. Did I say Democrat?
Yeah.
Okay, Republican, yes.
Well, I think she's probably got a case. I mean, you know... If anybody wants to run, they ought to be allowed to, you know, have their, you know, hat in a kitty, you know.
Well, apparently she feels she was treated pretty badly, and apparently there's some videotape that she says exists of how badly they treated her when she asked for the same help that Vivek Ramaswamy was getting.
Well, that'll just be another case where they might have to, you know, pay out some money at least. Marion won't be paying for that.
Well, do you want to see Tim Ryan get in this gubernatorial race with Amy Acton? Do you want to see a primary on the Democratic side?
Yeah. I think that's the best way to handle it. There's more than one person running.
You a fan of Amy Acton?
I think she's a wonderful person. I think she is... What hurt her is quitting. You know, just like Ross Perot. You know, he was leading, you know, the polls and stuff, and presumed was going to be a shoe-in candidate. And then he quit. And then he wants to run again, and that just totally killed him. And the Republicans are going to bring that up, and, you know, and you know, talking about her and her candidacy, whether she'll take the job and do it for 6 months and decide it's not for her and quit, you know, something. You know.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out. I don't know. It seems like Tim Ryan's going to get in, but I guess we don't know yet.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Is that one guy, Ramaswamy or whatever, is he the definitely going to be the candidate for the Republicans?
Well, it looks that way. Yeah, I don't think anybody else is still in on that side.
I think Tressel would have had a good shot to get in there. He's popular. People have a favorable opinion of him, even though that what happened, you know, he lost his job. But
apparently Tressel didn't feel that way.
You know, better decide to run before you get too old. I think after the last two presidents we've had, Biden and Trump, I mean, I would start voting for some people that's younger, not old people all the time.
Well, we can say that Vivek and Amy Acton certainly are not older. I don't think Tim Ryan's older either.
No. I mean, older, we're talking close to 80 years old, you know.
Yeah.
Those people are probably in their 50s, aren't they?
Oh, Ramaswamy, I don't even think's 40 yet.
Well, that's good. We need to get more younger people involved in politics.
So we'll see how it all shakes out. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yep.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 41 minutes past the hour, and the phone lines are open. Anything you'd like to talk about, 740-383-9944. Probably the last day with good weather, so get out and enjoy it. So those were the interviews last week. Heather Hill, Jason David, and Brian R. Solomon on the life and times of Gorilla Monsoon. Now, I did enjoy that interview. I thought that was fascinating to learn about the life and times of Gorilla Monsoon. Oh, you know, something else I wanted to talk about here. Now, I don't know if anything will come of this, but local vendors in town who order money at a high rate last week received this note when they were doing their money orders. This is what it said. The Federal Reserve Bank has recently announced that United States Mint has produced their last batch of pennies and distributed it to the Fed districts. This cash vault has been impacted by this initiative, and we are unable to fulfill orders for penny denominations. All other coin and currency denominations are not impacted. Please do not order pennies in the future from this cash vault, as the order cannot be fulfilled. Now, there seems to be a lot of question around this at the current point. A lot of people seem to feel that this is not going to be a problem, because obviously there are still going to be pennies in circulation. But because no new pennies are being produced, will you be able to order those from certain cash vaults? Now, as this says, the Federal Reserve, the Fed, the Mint let them know that we're not giving you any more pennies. So what's going to happen with this? You know, I don't know that we really know at this point. Maybe, as I said, there will be nothing with this. Maybe the pennies that are out there in circulation will just continue to circulate, and people will put those in machines, and they'll be all bundled up and sent back to the banks and then put out to the public. I don't know. I think what this is saying is that you cannot order any more from this particular vault. Now, I don't know why this vault would say we can't order, we can't give you any more. I don't know. I don't know how this is all going to shake out. It's going to be interesting. And I don't know why this was sent out if people are still going to be able to order them, businesses. Any thought on that? Do you care about the penny? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And again, last week this went to a lot of businesses in Marion that do a lot of business in money. The Federal Reserve Bank has recently announced the United States Mint has produced their last batch of pennies and distributed it to federal districts. This cash vault has been impacted by this initiative, and we are unable to fulfill orders for penny denominations. All other coin and currency denominations are not impacted. Please do not order pennies in the future from this cash vault, as the order cannot be fulfilled. So, that was what the paper said that went to a lot of businesses in the Marion area last week. What is this going to mean on the whole? We don't know. 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, Scott, it seems to me like that's one of the first steps in making people use a credit card or a debt or a card. You know, if you get you don't get a Social Security check anymore. You have to have sent to your direct deposit to a checking account, a savings account, or you can get it put on a card. But they don't send no checks out anymore. And
well, I just find it interesting that obviously there are still going to be pennies in circulation. The ones that are out there will still be in circulation. But why is it that cash vaults are sending these papers out to businesses telling them not to order pennies? Because a retail business is going to go through more pennies. They're going to give more away than they're going to take in. So I don't know what the significance of this is or what this is going to mean long term. Are businesses going to say, we can't give you pennies back anymore? Because they did that during the pandemic for about a month or so.
Yeah, it's going to take a while for, there's still pennies out there, and businesses, send an order in for pennies, but they might not receive them if they don't have enough. But it's not going to hurt, right off the bat, but, in time. And then there will be another excuse of, well, we're going to have to do this with dollar bills, too, because we print too many, the cost of printing the dollar bills and how long they last. It's just one step going to make you do everything on a card.
Well, I just thought it was fascinating because I obviously there are still going to be pennies out there. There are going to be pennies in circulation. I just wonder why this vault, which obviously, and other vaults, which handle a lot of business, are all of a sudden saying you're not going to be able to order them. Because I guess what's happening is, the business orders from the vault. The vault supplies the order, and then obviously the business gives the change out to the customer. So if the customer, I'm not sure how that will work, because the customer will obviously continue to spend pennies, but it's not going to go back to these vaults. The pennies are not going to show back up at the vault. They're just going to continue to be circulated in society, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to end back up at the business. They're probably not.
Well, what if you got a jar where you put pennies in for the last few years? Is there going to be a point in time where you can't redeem those pennies?
Well, no, I think as long as you have pennies, you'll be able to redeem them. But the problem is where does that business take their pennies? Are they going to take them to the bank? Because are they going to roll them and turn them in for money? Maybe they will. Are they going to take them and spend them at businesses that are still accepting pennies? The problem is in a retail business, any retailer will tell you they give out more than they take in. And there will be a point where they have no more to give out because they've given them out more than they've taken in. So if the vault is not willing to give them money because the Federal Reserve is not supplying them, then what do you do? Do you have to wait for customers to come in and give you pennies? And if they don't, too bad?
Well, the way it sounds, I mean, I think the banks can no longer order them, but I think, you know, what's in circulation that the bank has, you know, will continue to be. Hopefully you can still roll them up and turn them in for money.
Well, yeah, I don't think that's going to change.
Yeah, you know, hopefully, you know, maybe that can stay with the local banks then, but, you know, there's going to be a point of period there, you know, that, you know, enough of them are getting taken out of society because a lot of people just throw pennies away, but then there's these people that, you know, they have 2 cents coming back and change, and boy, they want those two pennies.
Well, some people are very serious about it, and when I asked Mary Ellen about this last week, she said that when she was treasurer, they were trying to get rid of the penny, and the argument against it always was that it's going to cause inflation, because if they have to go up to the nearest nickel, they're certainly going to go up. They're not going to go down.
Right.
So, there you are. We'll see what happens with it.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you.
See.
Bye-bye. All right. Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And again, I'm not saying the penny is going away, and there might be certain places that are still ordering the penny and are able to do that. All I'm saying is this is the slip that was given out by certain vaults that do a lot of business here in Marion, and I'm sure other places. Now, why they are having trouble getting the pennies, I don't know. Maybe it's because they order them in such a large quantity. We're only going to be able to see what happens. Now, people can tell you they know, and people can tell you what they've heard, but the truth of the matter is, we're just going to have to give it a month or two and see what happens. And when the pennies run out at these retailers and they cannot order them from the vaults where they have been ordering all of their money, well, then what are you going to do? What's that business going to do? Are they going to try to get their pennies from another location? I don't know. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, it's interesting with all money that obviously when it comes to change, businesses give out more than they take in. So it ultimately becomes a problem. Go ahead, caller.
Oh, love your currency.
There you go.
Do you know what the U.S. coins are made from? What metals?
No, what's that?
Well, the penny is copper-plated zinc. The dime, quarter, and dollar coins are copper nickel-clad. It's copper core with outer layers of copper nickel alloy. So the nickel coin is solid. It's called cupro or cupro nickel, 75% copper, 25% nickel.
Well, so what do you think is going to happen with this?
Well, I think they need to make these coins out of something less valuable metal, like steel or something like that. That would cut the cost down, and they could just crank out by the bazillion pennies or whatever. It makes one concerned. Why is there a shortage of pennies? How long will that shortage be?
I don't know that there's a shortage. It just says the Federal Reserve Bank has announced that the mint has produced their last batch, and that's it.
Well, I guess the big question is, when's the next batch going to happen?
Oh, I don't think it is. I think that's their point, is that the government is not going to make any new pennies. So the pennies that are out there will still be in circulation.
What did they give a reason why they're not going to produce any more pennies?
I think they've said cost in the past. Too much money to make.
Well, see, there you go. Use some cheap metal. I mean, why not? You could conceivably, if you wanted, make it out of plastic, some kind of plastic.
What?
And, you know.
Yeah, but I think this ship has sailed.
Well, I don't know. Time will tell. It's going to be interesting because if you've only got X number out in circulation, and you've probably seen it, people empty ashtrays when they're stopped at a traffic light or a stop sign, and they dump their ashtray. They got pennies and sometimes nickels and quarters in there. You know, when you have, like, what's our tax rate? 7.25% on tax. You know, there you go. How are you going to make up when it's 59 cents?
Well, all I know is during the pandemic, when pennies were in short order, and businesses were told not to give back pennies, people did not like that. So
well,
if that day is headed soon, that's going to be an ugly time.
Well, you know what it's pushing toward? It's pushing toward the debit card, where everybody will just be using a piece of plastic against what they have in their accounts. So it could be pushing toward that.
Well,
something to think about.
Hopefully there'll be no problem, but we'll see.
Yeah, it kind of makes it bad for those who like to play penny, nickel, dime poker, so... Oh, well.
Here we go. Thank you. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. 56 minutes past the hour, coming up on the top of the hour here, Monday, October the 6th, 2025. If you have anything you'd like to say, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And I guess the best we can say is hopefully it'll be fine. And there'll be no fallout from this at all, and nobody will have to deal with it, and... life will go on, but I do think it's interesting. It's an interesting story, to say the least. Go ahead, caller.
A nickel for your thoughts.
Yes. I'll give you my 2 cents.
No, I can't do that.
I can't do it anymore.
No, I mean, the mints were ordered to quit manufacturing pennies because, I mean, the cost is too high. And think of it. When was the last time you even saw a penny gumball machine?
This is true, but people still do pay with pennies.
Yes, they do. And what the merchants are going to have to start doing is just rounding to the nickel. You know, if they don't have pennies, they'll have to round to the nickel.
Yeah, but here's
many places are doing that already.
But here's the problem that I saw when I first saw this last week. Number one, I flashed back on the pandemic when pennies could not be given back, and people were very hostile about that. And number two, does the public understand that this is coming? I'm not sure that they do.
I don't think the public understands anything that's coming.
Well, this is going to be an ugly one.
Story.
Well, but
no,
this
I don't
is
think
go-
so.
This is
I
going to be an
so.
Ugly one.
If you're due a penny back on your transaction, and the merchant has no penny and they give you a nickel instead, are you going to beef about it?
Oh, so you think the businesses are going to give them a nickel instead of a penny?
If that's what's coming.
Oh, no, that did not float during the pandemic. No, that's not what they did. What they said was, they said, there's a penny shortage, and we cannot give you the pennies, so you can round up or
round down.
Well, no, there's no round down. There was no round down.
Oh, I mean, we'll see, but I think, you know, when it gets right down to it, if the merchant has to round and give you an extra 4 cents, you know, they're going to, because it's 4 cents.
It's four cents for one person.
They'll spend more time arguing about that 4 cents that, you know, in labor than they will in just giving it to you.
Yeah, but if every customer does that, it's going to be more than 4 cents.
And then you have to look at how many transactions a day are done electronically, you know, in Kroger's or anywhere versus cash.
Well, like I said, you know, they go through a lot of pennies. That's what they're going to be losing, is the pennies that they're ordering. I don't know.
Probably there'll be speculation for a while, but I think for the most part people will adapt.
My guess is,
other than using it for change, you can't buy anything with a penny. You can't buy anything with five pennies.
No.
It doesn't have a place in society anymore, other than being, you know, one hundredth of a dollar.
Well, I think the place in society it has is to stop the inflation, because there's no way that a business is going to continually lose money for the rest of time, because they have to give extra pennies back to every customer who pays in cash. So eventually they're going to make that up by raising their prices.
Yeah, the same with tariffs and everything else. I mean, they're going to pass it on to the customer. If the businesses were in danger of losing mass amounts of money, you know, over this, they would be campaigning heavily in Washington. And that's what, you know...
Well, I think they did for a long time.
That's what Trump listens to. Well, they're probably lobbied to get rid of it, because the penny is worthless, you know, as a unit of money.
Well, we're running out of time, but, you know, I talked to Mary Ellen last week, she said there were always groups that were campaigning for the penny and against the penny, and they always wanted to do away with it because the cost of making a penny is worth more than what a penny's value is. But the problem was, the argument was always, this is going to cause inflation if we do it, more than the cost of making a penny. So here we go.
Well, I think it's been going on for so long that the inflation has finally caught up, and you can't make a penny any cheaper than what it is.
Well, we'll find out. I'm interested to see how people react. Let's see how they react.
It's always going to be a fun time here for the next 3.5 years.
It certainly will. A three and a half year fairy tale.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, we're done for the day. Out of time. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
And I think you're a fair reporter.
Streaming live on the internet at WWGH